A former parliamentary staffer says MPs are never held accountable for their actions, and political parties want to keep it that way so as not to damage their brand. David Buckingham worked at Parliament more than a decade ago and says there is a massive power imbalance between MPs and their staff. He says the latest allegations of workplace bullying to emerge from Parliament show things haven't changed since Debbie Francis's 2019 review into Parliament's bullying culture. Mr Buckingham is with us now. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Morena.
So tell me, the power imbalance between an MP and the staff that work in their office, does that mean inevitably this situation will be perpetuated?
Look, amongst any group of large group of employers, you're going to find that there are some people who are able to manage staff. They have an empathy, but they also have a clear boundary and they will set expectations and act as a way that any employer should be able to act. Amongst any large group, there's going to be a small portion who will either through incompetence, which will be dealt with by the new measures that the Francis report came through and the Prime Minister described this morning, and then there'll be an even smaller group that are chronic people who will simply have employment dispute after employment dispute. And these are people who will potentially have those dark triad traits, narcissism, Machiavellianism and psychopathy, and simply aren't going to be able to see that they are at the cause of their disputes. And of course, the system is one of wanting to shut this down. The employer ultimately of staff is the parliamentary service, and the parliamentary service is tasked to clean these things up. The only tool at their disposal, if you will, is to notify the whip, notify the chief of staff, the leader's office, and to do a hiring freeze in the office, which you know may or may not have happened in GoRab's office. But that is the only tool that they have, simply for one important distinction between Parliament and every other employer, and that is notably that a politician is elected, and a politician has little or no other consequence other than parliamentary service removes the staff member from the office and finds a way to pay them out to move them on, which appears to be what may, the anatomy of the playbook, which was happening in this case. What we know is that there's little accountability for two reasons also. The first one is that it's hushed up. It's something that these staff do not want to be outing themselves. They're often pulled from the parties themselves maybe political staff that have come through, or they're wanting to go back into the public service. So reputation matters. The second one is that any payouts that take place, they come out of a general budget, and there's no financial consequence to the party or to the MP.
Okay, so does that mean that MPs can realistically be held accountable?
There are a couple of ways that I see, and they would require substantial changes constitutionally. The way that I see this could take place is that, for a start, we need to have natural justice. That means that an MP and their staff need to actually have an external investigation, not one run by parliamentary service as it is now, but one that is external. So held to a very high standard to determine what's happened, but secondly, whether that MP was involved. And then what I suggest is that the results or a version of the results are notifiable to Parliament under parliamentary standing orders. So on the commencement of Parliament on the next sitting day, that report or a summary of that report or an abstract of that report is notified to the House. There are serial offenders in Parliament. When I started 15 years ago, on my first day, the MP wasn't there. I was approached by staff across the House, including neutral select committee staff, House staff, who were all warning me that this particular MP had a reputation. I was even approached by one MP who went on to be Prime Minister, saying this particular MP that I worked for was known to be extremely difficult and that I should, quote, give her expletive back to her when she does, and that she would respect me if I did. I was 23. This person had gone through staff to the point of where they were on the verge of not being allowed to have a staff member, and I wasn't given the heads up. So there are serial perpetrators. The second thing is that the money that's paid out to staff should actually come from the leader's budget. There has to be some kind of consequence on the colleagues of the party that if there has to be a payout, it has some consequence where that money cannot be spent on something else like a mail-out or some political campaign or whatever that particular party wants to run. And when that actually has a consequence for those members of Parliament and their colleagues, I think that these instances will be looked at quite differently.
So does there need to be a further review? I mean, clearly there's been the Francis Review in 2019. That was after you worked in Parliament. Is there indication that the culture has significantly changed since then?
I'm very pleased to hear that there is onboarding coaching within members of Parliament. And for those members of Parliament who perhaps haven't employed staff before and need some guidance on how to make that relationship work, that's a really positive thing. And that really does have a presupposition that members are just simply making mistakes in the way that they engage with staff because they're incompetent or needed some upskilling. There is a small group within Bullies. I'm now a workplace employment relations consultant and represent employees who have been bullied and harassed at work. And what I find is that there's really two categories. There are people who will perpetrate against an employee or who will make mistakes that, you know, really have kind of walked into this innocently and they just need a bit of extra skills. And a personal grievance or some kind of consequence like this will usually be a fright that they need to make them change their approach. There's a smaller group that actually has some kind of brain-level organic issue where they see people as being things to be exploited, that they've had a sense of entitlement and they can do anything that they like with impunity. Mm. For those people, and it's a small group, we do have the narcissists, the psychopaths and the Machiavellians in society, and some of them gravitate towards Parliament. And I'm not saying all of them, the vast majority are great, but for those that are, secrecy is what allows them to stay. So if there is a consequence where it's notified to Parliament, that would change, it would require a change in standing orders, would change, and perhaps a change in legislation, that will have some consequence where it becomes public, and we as electors, as constituents out there, can make a decision whether we want those people or not, because the way that someone will treat their staff in private indicates their character. Mm. And they are highly, these people, who this small group I'm talking about, are the ones that are highly likely to do this again.
I appreciate your time this morning. David Buckingham there, who worked in Parliament previously.